Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary, how does the
fault. We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream.
Change has come to America.
Roy. Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
P20 about 37, you have one on top.
He doesn't have a one. We have one.
And 1 second.
Oh, Jesus.
Handcuff.
Legacy gripping
his hand. Gripping his hand.
Back up.
I got right gun.
Back up.
Back up!
You on? Huh?
I don't know.
Hey,
somebody get my bag and start getting some equipment.
Where's your bag?
You good?
Take the back of my trunk.
You good?
I'm good. Get some gloves. We need to hold the wound.
All right, so that was the shooting of Keith Lamont Scott in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And today we were treated to a very long press conference. Methinks thou dost protest too much. It was a very long, long, long press conference to deal with that shooting, the shooting that happened on September 20th of Keith Lamont Scott. And, you know, we're going to have to call him Keith Lamont Scott because there's two Scott murders. There's Keith Lamont Scott and there's Walter Scott, one North Carolina, one South Carolina. It all gets like into one big, you know, mind F. But, okay, so in September when we were sitting on the air that morning, it was the police said that this man who was Keith Lamont Scott, who was sitting in the car waiting for his kids to get off the school bus with his wife and it needed to die. This is what they said. And we were all wondering, why did he need to die? You know, could you just tell us why he needed to die? Because I'm not clear why he needed to die. And apparently the reason we got that he needed to die was because he was sitting in his car and he was smoking a marijuana cigarette. And they were trying to execute a search warrant someplace else, and they smelled the marijuana. They went near his car. They thought, oh, he's just smoking a joint, you know. And then all of a sudden, they decided he had pulled a gun and that he was dangerous and that they needed to back up, get him to come out of the car, which he did do, which you saw in that video. Now, if you're only listening, you don't know what you were listening to. It was a video. I'm sorry, we were showing it. His hands were always down by his side, okay? In every video from every angle that we've ever seen of the shooting of Keith Lamont Scott, Keith Lamont Scott's hands were down by his side. What we don't know to this day, what we didn't know that day, and what we don't know today is whether or not he had a gun in his hand. No dash cam video will show that. No body cam video of any of the police officers who apparently, you know, were not so close to him that they could get a view of his hand. Whatever. They said he had a handgun. They agree he never, you know, aimed it at them. Never, if it was a gun, indeed. And we don't know. We will never know because there will be no trial. The decision today was made not to prosecute the officer. His name was Brentley Vinson. He happens to be an African-American. If that little detail is part of your thinking, I don't know. But it wasn't a surprise. Back in September, the chief of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department, Kerr Putney, said the officer was absolutely not being charged. So today's announcement was kind of like redundant. Nobody ever thought anything was going to happen to this officer who said, you know, he was scared and he felt justified. What's really bizarre about this one is that, you know, you had a dozen different prosecutors, you know, involved in looking at this, and nobody has ever been able to tell us whether or not he had a gun in his hand. All we know is, and people have dissected this video, we've gone over it frame by frame, it does look like something was dropped on the ground. Some people believe it was a glove. Other people believe it was a gun. Now we know what the gun was. The gun, according to the reports that we were treated to today, came off of the internets. Now, remember, North Carolina is an open carry state. This man is allowed to have a gun. He's not he was in a motorcycle accident, if you remember. His wife was on the side of the road, and she was saying he has a TBI. He doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have a weapon. You don't need to pull away. He doesn't have a gun. He has a TBI, and people didn't know what TBI was, but it's a traumatic brain injury. He had been in a motorcycle accident a year earlier. He banged his head. She said he just took his medication. Which may have been or may not have been the pot. I don't know. We were never told, you know, what kind of medication he was on. But, of course, the gun turned out to be a semi-automatic handgun that was purchased off the internets. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many police officers actually have a handgun in their car that was purchased off the internet, just in case. I'm just saying, I don't know. And you'll never know. And that's the sad thing. So the Scott family said they are very disappointed in the decision not to file charges. We understand that many in the Charlotte area share our frustration and pain. We ask that everyone work together to fix the system that allowed this tragedy to happen in the first place. They want everybody to remain peaceful and calm. They said responding to violence with violence is never an appropriate response. And that seems to be the end of that particular case. And, you know, because we were so shocked and appalled by that case when it happened back in September, you know, to ignore the resolution of it would be, you know, to be stupid about, you know, spitting out a spleen about, you know, we want an investigation and then we get one and it goes, oh, you know, it was a gun. It was purchased off the internet. You know, there's no video to show whether or not he ever had anything in his hand. That was not a book. That was a gun. We'll never know. But we do know he never raised the gun to a police officer or threatened anybody. They just felt frightened. He just felt the need that you know, he had to kill him. And that's what they. Now the other person who you may remember is Walter Scott. Walter Scott. That's another you know, case that this one happened a year ago. Walter Scott was in his car. He was pulled over by a police officer in South Carolina, and he was pulled over because he had a broken taillight. Better fix those taillights, people. It could get you killed in this country. Broken taillight equals death. You know, especially if your last name's Scott. I don't know. But so Walter Scott was in his car, and he was pulled over for a broken taillight. And the police officer, Michael Slager, went back to his cruiser, and he was running Walter Scott's name to find... And what's crazy is that, you know, Walter Scott's name came back to this, you know, Slager was running his name. Let's just do this in order. And Walter Scott, actually, before the check was complete on his name, he got scared and he ran away. He ran away from the cruiser. And the police officer, instead of calling for backup or whatever, or waiting to see, you know, if this guy was, you know, a danger to anybody, he pursued him. The police officer, Michael Slager, pursued Walter Scott on foot. And he said he got, you know, he tased him. And Walter Scott fell to the ground. And apparently he, you know, I don't know if the taser was working or not. But Walter Scott got up and he continued to run. He was about 18 feet away from Michael Slager, the police officer, when Michael Slager, the police officer, decided to pump 8 bullets into his back. And then in this video that was shot by a concerned bystander, who was in the courtroom yesterday for the first time, you can see Michael Slager walking up to the body, and you can see Michael Slager pick up a taser from the field and place it next to Walter Scott's body. So he planted the taser right next to a body that was obviously dead from 8 bullet wounds. So I can show you this video if you're watching. If you're listening, you won't know what this is, but it's not very long, okay? Well, it can be long. I'll cut it short, all right? Okay, so 8, 9. Down, he's down. He calls in, shots fired.
Oh shit.
This is the bystander.
Shit.
Shit. Okay, Slager is running away. Obviously, you can hear other cars are coming because he called in shots fired. Someone grabbed me a kit over behind the pawn shop, he says.
Oh, shit.
Okay, and here is the part of the video where the officer Slager drops an object near Mr. Scott. It turns out to be a taser. Now, this particular case is in court right now. This particular case is almost wrapped up, and this is why I bring it up today, because it looks like closing arguments for this case will happen today, and then the jury will either, I don't know whether or not the presiding judge will allow them to go to the area where this all happened, or whether or not the judge will instruct the jury in a certain way. I mean, the judge has a lot of discretion here. The judge can instruct the jury that fleeing felons allow officers to use deadly force against them, and you know they could. But I will tell you that Slager has been on the stand. He says things could have been different that day. But the interesting thing about Michael Slager's testimony is Michael Slager doesn't remember a whole lot of this. The officer that shot him all these times, he says, I just don't remember. My mind is like spaghetti. He said, I just don't remember. I don't remember, you know, much of this. I don't. What he seems to not remember is, putting the taser down beside the body. He only knew that he was scared of Scott. He doesn't remember, he doesn't remember how many times he shot him. He says, things could have been different. They just could have been different. He started crying on the stand. He said his wife was pregnant when he was put in jail to face the murder trial of Walter Scott. And he said his wife gave birth, and he's very, and it was a tough thing because it was in vitro fertilization. They'd wanted this baby, so, and he cried and cried and cried. Didn't know, he told a story about how close Walter Scott was to him when he pulled the trigger, but the video doesn't bear out that. And he said, well, I just don't remember. I just don't remember what happened. He said, my mind is like spaghetti, he said. He said, he just doesn't understand. So he said, my family's been destroyed by this. And he did acknowledge the Scott family's been destroyed by this. He said, it's horrible. And he said, yes, I have gaps in my memory. I just can't recount certain portions of the encounter, whatever. And so this is in closing arguments, I believe, today. And then the judge will have to instruct the jury. Now, this case, just so you know, this started out as very normal Saturday morning. This happened April 4th, 2015. Michael Slager pulled him over because he had a broken taillight, the middle taillight of the, he had like a tri taillight, and the middle one wasn't going on. So we pulled him over. Slager said he was going to give Walter Scott a warning. But Walter Scott didn't have the proper insurance documents either, so he went back to his cruiser, and he said he ran an FBI background check. But he didn't have time for the check to actually complete. What's really creepy about that FBI check is that the FBI check came back after Slager was out of the car, wanted person, caution, armed and dangerous, violent tendencies. Except all that was wrong. He had been arrested like 20 years earlier on an assault and weapons charge, but the warrant that was out for him was for failure to pay child support. And he wasn't a dangerous guy. So, but Walter Scott got scared because he knew there was a warrant out for him because of the child support issue. And so he ran, and he was unarmed. He was unarmed. Walter Scott was. And Slager, if he would have waited in the car and he would have seen, even though this was erroneous information about being armed and dangerous and, you know, use caution and violent, even if he would have waited for all that, I mean, if he would have waited for all that, he probably would have called for backup. But Slager went out on his own after Walter Scott ran and he shot him 8 times in the back. And it does look like there's no defense for the shooting. And the people who have looked at this tape over and over again, the experts, the prosecutors, the defense lawyers, the other, police officers, they've all said that this was murder. And that dropping the taser by Walter Scott, you know, was evidence of presence of mind. So his mind was not spaghetti. He wasn't in fear for his life. If not for the bystander who filmed this, if not for the person who filmed this, Michael Slager probably would have gotten away with telling his story that, you know, Walter Scott was, had a taser of his own and tried to retaliate, whatever. So we'll have to wait and see. But the other one, the poor guy with the traumatic brain injury whose wife was there while he was waiting for his kid to come off the school bus smoking a little marijuana. No charges. I mean, he's just... Keith Lamont Scott, rest in peace. He's just gone. And that's it. Well, there could be a civil case. There could be a civil case, I guess. So that's tragic.
Randy Rhoads Air Force. Air Force. RandyRhoads.com.
Go to RandyRhoads.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.